Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. I've been working hard on a recent crop of plays, and I've got some to present. We have one of the lost shows from Mysterious Traveler. This one is called Murder in Masquerade. It's set in New Orleans during Mardi Gras.
American Radio Theater presents The Mysterious Traveler.
This is The Mysterious Traveler, inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange, the mysterious, and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, that it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can. Where are we going tonight? Why, it's Mardi Gras time in New Orleans, and we're going to join the gaiety of the world's most colorful carnival with a happy young engaged couple who find that three's a crowd, particularly when the third person is a corpse, in the story I call Murder in Masquerade. New Orleans in Mardi Gras time. Parties and parades, colorful floats and happy frolickers. The streets crowded with masked revelers. And at a fifth-floor hotel window, young Dan Bedell is watching the throngs in the street below.
Good old Mardi Gras. I'd almost forgotten what it was like. Oh, hello?
Hello, Bedell. This is Morgan Nelson.
Nelson, what do you want?
I want to talk to you, Bedell.
I haven't anything to say to you.
That's too bad, because I've got a lot to say to you.
Nothing you can say would interest me.
I think this will, and I'm going to charge you for it. $10,000.
You're crazy. And I'm not interested in anything you have to say, and that's final. That's what I get for not staying out of cheap gambling joints. Coming.
Hello, Dan. Surprise.
Connie, come in, darling.
I just this minute got back from dinner with my aunt, and I just had to see you before I got dressed for the party tonight.
That's what I've been waiting for all day.
Oh, now I got to run right down to my room and change. Dan, I've got the darlingest costume for tonight. A shepherd girl.
Oh, wait, Connie.
Yes, Dan.
In 2 weeks, we're going to be married.
Yes, Dan.
Let's change that and get married tomorrow.
Tomorrow? But Dan...
I just had a wire from Hollywood. My agent has a part for me in a new picture. Shooting starts in 2 weeks. We could have a 2-week honeymoon.
Oh, Dan. Is it a good part?
My best part yet. I'm on my way up.
Oh, you are. I know it.
Then what do you say?
All right, darling. You've persuaded me. We'll get married tomorrow. Oh, it's just like being in a movie.
Oh, not a bit of it. This is real life and a lot more fun.
But, Dan, now I just got to run change. It's 10 o'clock. We'll be late to the Comus ball.
All right, Connie. I'll pick you up in half an hour.
Dan, when I came in, you looked so angry at something. Is there anything wrong?
No, darling. Just a phone call from Morgan Nelson.
The gambler? The one you lost all that money to?
Yes, he wanted to talk to me. Seemed to have some scheme by which he thought he could get another $10,000 out of me.
Dan, he's dangerous. Don't have anything to do with him.
Don't worry, I won't. Now run along, darling, and I'll change myself into a dashing pirate for the evening. Oh, you're a lucky man, Danny, my boy. A sweet lass, your health, and a future ahead of you. Ah, 'tis more than you deserve, sure. Now let me look at you in the mirror. Ah, 'tis a fine pirate you make. Jean Lafitte to the life. Now tie on your sash. Only 15 minutes and she's ready before I am. There's a girl for you. Connie, oh, it's you, Nelson.
Sorry to disappoint you, but I meant what I said on the phone. Thanks, I will step in.
Nelson, I lost $10,000 in your crooked gambling joint last week. I paid you in cash. That ends all connection between us.
Not necessarily. I could be mighty sore about you spreading the story my game is crooked.
And it is. I know a fixed wheel when I meet one.
My game is straight. But I didn't come here to tangle with you. I want to sell you $1 million worth of information for only $10,000.
I wouldn't give 10 cents to know anything you can tell me.
You haven't heard it yet. Now look, Bedell, you're a New Orleans boy. You went to Hollywood. You slaved there for years. Then you got started. You're going to be a star.
Come to the point.
I'm getting there. You're heading for trouble, bad trouble, and you don't know it. If I can prove that, is it worth $10,000 to you? You can be the judge.
On that basis, go ahead.
Then listen to this. When you came back here for this little hometown vacation of yours...
Nelson, what's wrong?
Shot in the back.
Shot? Here, let me look.
Too late. I'm dying. Get papers in my safe. Combination 7, 13, 24. Tell you who...
Nelson! Nelson! Good Lord, he's dead. Who is it?
How many women are you expecting tonight?
Connie, just a moment.
Excuse me if my bonnet's crooked, darling. Some chivalrous gentleman just almost knocked me right down.
Knocked you down?
He just bumped into me down the hall and kept going. Didn't even say excuse me. I finished dressing early and came up to see if you... Dan, that man on the floor by the window, what's wrong with him?
He's dead.
Dead? But it's Nelson, the gambler. What happened?
He was shot.
Shot? Oh, Dan, why'd you do it? Why'd you shoot him?
But, Connie, I didn't shoot him.
You didn't?
He was shot in the back through this window here. I'm going to have a look out the window.
Oh, you mean he was shot by somebody outside the window?
No, there's no fire escape. The shot must have come from one of those windows across the courtyard. It's only about 30 feet.
There's a light in one of the windows. Maybe... Dan, look!
A gun! Where did you find it?
Well, it was lying right here in this armchair by the window.
Let me see it. Yes, it's been fired once.
But where did it come from? Whoever shot Nelson must have thrown the gun through the window into the chair!
Yes, and Connie, you said that when you were coming here, you were almost knocked down by a man in the hall.
Yes, Dan. Do you think he did it?
It must have been him. That's why he was hurrying to get away. Connie, stay here till I get back.
Where are you going, Dan?
I'm going to have a look at those rooms across the courtyard. Well, I didn't learn much. The rooms are locked. But I'm betting the shot was fired from the washroom. That's where the lighted window is.
Oh, then anybody could have killed Nelson.
Yes, and that leaves me badly on the spot. Connie, what did this man in the hall look like?
Well, he was about 40, kind of tall and pretty heavy built.
Not enough to help much. The police will never believe in him.
But why not, Dan? You didn't kill Nelson.
No, but last week I quarreled with him. Now his body and the gun are found in my suite. The police will pin this on me as sure as we're standing here.
Oh, but Dan, we can't let them. We've got to do something.
Yes, but the question is, what?
Well, there must be something. The door! Somebody's at the door!
Quiet, maybe they'll go away.
Hey, open up in there! I know you're there. I can see your light.
It's Bill Williams, my cousin.
The reporter? The one who introduced us?
Yes, we can let him in. He'll help us. I'm sure he will.
Open up in there, love birds. I can hear you talking.
I guess we've got to risk it. All right, just a second.
Hello, Dan. I just thought I'd see if you two would have a planter's punch with me before... Hey, who's that on the floor?
It's Morgan Nelson, Bill. He's dead.
Dead? Oh, that's bad. You two better tell me just what happened.
Well, that's it, Bill. That's the story.
He was just gonna tell you something? Somebody shoots through the window? Throws the gun in? Well, I believe you, Dan, but Well, the police are just gonna laugh at you.
Oh, Bill, you got to help
us.
Oh,
I sure do want to if I can. If only we could get Nelson out of here. Maybe we could get him back to his apartment.
Oh, but that's impossible.
Well, maybe it isn't, Connie. Maybe it can be done.
You got an idea, Dan?
Well, if we could get him back to his own apartment, we could fix it so I'd be in the clear. And we might find a clue there that would lead us to the real murderer.
Oh, go on, Dan!
This is carnival time. The streets are crowded. People are wearing masks, having fun, not paying much attention to anybody
else.
Well,
you're right, Dan. Nelson is a little fellow, about my size. You and me could hold him up like he'd been drinking, take him to his apartment, and nobody would give him a second thought.
Oh, but no. There's too much risk. We might be caught. I can't involve you in this, Bill.
Oh, now wait a minute, fella. You're going to marry Connie. That makes us almost kin. I'm going to help you, but I got a better notion.
What, Bill?
Well, Connie, for a pretty girl, you're mighty husky. You think you could help Dan walk Nelson out of here down to a taxi?
Of course I could.
But, Bill...
Now, listen, Dan. Morgan and me, we're about the same size. That white evening dress suit he's wearing, everybody in town knows it. Just like everybody knows this big old black hat I wear.
What are you getting at?
Well, I'll change clothes with Nelson. I'll walk out of here. Lots of people see me. I'll let myself in his apartment with his own keys. More people see me.
Yes, then he's been seen to enter his own apartment alive.
That's it. After that, I sneak out the back way, go around to my own apartment house, and wait for you in the back of my own car. You and Connie bring Nelson there in my clothes. It'll look like I'm drunk, and you're bringing me home.
It might work, if we didn't lose our nerve.
Well, just pretend it's only another movie you're acting in, Dan. Just another movie, and he'll breeze right through it.
We can do it, Dan. We've got to do it.
Well, let me get this straight. You'll go first to Nelson's apartment, then to your own, and we'll bring him to your address. Then, in your car, we'll take him to his own apartment and in the back way.
That's it. Then we switch the clothes back again and start trying to find the real murderer. Well, what do you say?
All right. We'll do it.
Oh, that's the spirit. Connie, you step in the other room a minute. Me and Dan, we're going to dress Mr. Morgan Nelson for his big masquerade tonight. He's going to pretend to be alive.
A few minutes later, the change of clothing accomplished, the sash from Dan's pirate costume hiding the ominous bullet hole in the dead man's coat, Connie's cousin Bill left to play his part in the grim masquerade. 20 minutes later, Dan and Connie, with the dead man between them, a black hat pulled down over his masked face, his arms over their shoulders, and his head sagging grotesquely, faced their first test in the elevator.
Golly, Mr. Williams sure looks like he's been celebrating powerful hard.
Yes, he started early. We're taking him home now. Look, Tom, take us straight down to the basement and don't stop for anybody else.
I don't want people to see him like this, Tom.
No, ma'am, of course not. I'll show you how to get out the back way.
Then we'll catch a taxi and be all right.
No taxi around here, Mr. Bedell. Too much crowd. You gotta go 3-4 blocks for a taxi.
4 blocks?
We'll manage it. Don't worry, darling.
Here you are, sir. Basement floor. Door you want right across the hall. I'll get it open for you. Right through there, Mr. Bedell, and down the alley. You're gonna have trouble getting him through the crowd in the street, though.
I will do it, Tom, somehow.
Here, let me help you get him out to the alley.
No, it's not necessary. Besides, somebody was ringing for the elevator. Here's something for you, Tom.
$5? Thank you, Mr. Bedell. Good night, folks. Hope Mr. Williams gets a nice long sleep.
Oh, he will. Well, we've passed the first test. How do you feel, darling?
Let's just rest a second, Dan. He feels so funny, so cold and limp.
I know. We've got to keep our nerve. We'd better get started. We've got to get through that crowd out there, and that's going to be rugged.
Slowly, warily, Dan and Connie set forth from the hotel with their embarrassing companion. In a moment, the laughing crowd engulfed them and swept them along. They could do nothing save struggle to keep their feet and keep moving. and hold Morgan Nelson upright between them. But except for a few curious glances, no one in the carnival crowd seemed surprised that their friend showed such a lack of interest in what was going on around him.
We're doing fine, Connie, if we can just keep it up.
Oh, he's getting so heavy.
We got to cross the street now. Watch the curb, Connie. Look out.
He slipped Dan right out of my hand.
And I couldn't hold him. Quick, we got to pick him up. There's a policeman looking this way. Come on, get your hand under his shoulder.
Did you see that fella fall?
I got him, Dan.
Then come on. Lift. That's it. He's up. Now get your arm around his waist. Come on, let's get him away from here.
Hey, you folks. Having trouble?
No, officer. Just our friend started celebrating a little early today.
Oh, I'll say he did. He's the worst case I've seen tonight.
Oh, he'll be all right as soon as we've got him home.
I'll help you. You get him across the street.
Really, we can manage.
No trouble at all. I'll sort of lift him from behind like this. Say, this fellow sure feels limp. Maybe he hurt himself when he fell?
He's all right. Really, really he is.
I better have him looked over. We got an ambulance and a doctor standing by up the street.
Oh, it's not necessary. We'll have him home in 10 minutes.
Shucks. It's free. It's on the city. I don't want anybody dying of a bad heart in this mob. We'll have the doc look him over and give him something to bring him to. There. Ambulance be right here. Then he can have a ride home.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
No trouble at all.
Dan, what are we gonna do?
I don't know. I'm afraid we're in for it, Connie.
Oh, Dan, after we got this far. Wait, I have it. Officer! Officer!
It's all right, ma'am. Ambulance coming now. I can see it.
Oh, it's not that. Somebody snatched my bag right then, right out of my hand.
He did, eh? You see who it was?
Oh, that tall man over there pushing through the crowd. The one in the clown costume.
I'll get him. We got orders to watch for these fellows. Hey, you stay there. Ambulance be right here. I got that fellow spotted.
Right, officer. Darling, you're wonderful. Now, come on, let's get away from here.
Any further. I just can't.
Take it easy, darling. Here, lean against this mailbox.
Oh, it's so heavy, and this crowd is so thick. If we could only get a cab.
There comes one now. I'll signal. No, it's not. It's a private car.
Oh, but Dan, it's stopping.
You folks having trouble?
We have a friend here who's had too much to drink, but we're trying to get him home, and there just aren't any cabs.
Well, hop in, then. I'll take you folks any place you want to go.
Well, that's very good of you. You're a lifesaver.
Here, let me give you a hand.
We can manage.
Shucks, can't let you do that alone. You look all wore out already. Just let me get a hold of his arm. There. Now, in with him.
That does it. I have him steady. Get in, Connie.
Yes, Dan.
Say, he sure is wobbly. You positive he's all right?
He gets like this often.
But I had a hold of his wrist then, and it's icy. Couldn't feel any pulse either. Maybe his heart stopped on him?
He has bad circulation. The thing to do is to get him home and into bed.
Sure. If you're certain he isn't sick. Well, where to?
8972 Royal Street. It's an apartment house. If you don't mind, drive around to the back. No need to have everybody in the building know about this.
No trouble at all. Like you say, there's some things happen to a man that ought to be kept private. Well, folks, here we are. I'll help you out with him.
Oh, thanks, but we have him.
Yes, really, we can't trouble you anymore.
Glad to be of help. Give me his arm now. All right, down he comes. There.
Oh, we have him now.
He show out like a light and cold, too. He could be dead for all the life he's showing.
He showed plenty of life earlier when he was pouring down those planters punches.
Those planters punches. I have a brother-in-law who takes three and goes out like a light. Well, I'll be going now. Night, folks. Enjoy the carnival.
We will. Good night.
Enjoy the carnival! Enjoy the carnival! I'll never be able to enjoy a Mardi Gras again!
Take it easy, Connie. Someone may hear you. Now, where's Bill?
Here I am, Dan.
Oh, Bill!
I was sort of hiding until your friend went away.
Our friend? Oh, yes, I'd forgotten how helpful and friendly people are here. They all wanted to help me right into the electric chair.
Only one little bit more, and it's all over. I got my car back here. We'll take Nelson to his own apartment. And in the back way, and then we can all have a drink. And we'll sure need it. Whew. There he is at last, lying on the floor, his own study, in his own clothes, just like he died here.
Oh, now Dan can get out of here. Dan, we got to go to that ball so you can have an alibi.
No, I can't leave yet, darling.
Connie's right, Dan. You two go on. I'll stay here and make sure we haven't forgotten anything.
Well, thanks, Bill, but I can't let you take the risk. We've got to look for a clue to the real killer.
Well, I already went through all the papers I could find, Dan. Sort of spread them around, make it look like a burglar did this. But it wasn't anything important in them.
Did you look in the safe?
Safe? No, it's locked. But you two go to that party. I'll stick around and see how good I am at safe cracking. If I find anything, I'll bring it to you.
Yes, somebody may come any minute, Dan. Somebody's calling Nelson.
Oh, we just won't answer it.
But it might be somebody down in the lobby. Oh, there, it stopped. But somebody may be coming up. He's supposed to be in, you know. Please, Dan, let's go.
We'll have to risk it. Bill, what about that closet there, back of us? Anything in there?
No, I didn't get to look, Dan. It's locked. I can't find the key, but I can break it open with a poker.
No. Let's tackle the safe first.
You think you can open it?
I'm going to try. You see, as he was dying, Nelson gave me the combination. He said to look at some papers in it.
Oh, I see. Oh, then he probably knew who was after him. What's the combination, Dan?
Be quicker if I open it. Now, let's see. 7, 13, 24.
Now, Dan, I feel so nervous now. If we don't get away from here, something will happen. I know it will.
Oh, I want to get my hands on the fellow who tried to frame me. Connie, I owe him something. There, I got it.
Oh, good work, Dan. What's in it?
Well, that's funny. Nothing much but a notebook.
A notebook?
Just an ordinary notebook. Let's see what it says in it.
Maybe we ought to take it with us. Like Connie says, we better be getting away from here.
Oh, it'll only take a second to see what it says. To whom it may concern... Sir?
What is it, Dan?
Bill's name is here.
Bill's name?
What does it say about me?
It says that you've been extorting money from Nelson for months, on threat of exposing certain things you know about his protection tie-ups.
Bill, blackmailing Nelson? Oh, no, Dan, it couldn't be.
What else does it say?
It says that Nelson has had you investigated, that he's discovered that you're a crook who has operated all over the country. You get a job as a newspaper reporter, use your position to learn incriminating facts about someone, and proceed to bleed them.
Oh, it's not true, Dan. It can't be. Bill's my cousin.
Yes, I know. But this paper mentions you too, Connie.
It does?
It says that for years you've been Bill's accomplice, that you're an experienced confidence woman, and that 6 months ago you finished a jail term in Atlanta.
Oh, it does it? Well, it's true. All of it.
Yeah, it's true. I'm very sorry you found that paper, Dan. Now we're going to have to kill you, too.
Then it was you who killed Nelson.
Yeah, I killed him. When you told Connie he'd phoned you, she knew what it must be about. He saw a chance to get some cash from you for spilling the dope about us, so I had to stop him. I didn't want anything to prevent Connie's marriage to you.
Why? I'm not wealthy.
Don't be a sap. 2 years from now, you'll be a Hollywood star.
You mean he would have been, if he'd lived. Yes, Dan, you were on your way up. Connie was going with you. Pretty soon, I'd have come out to the coast, too. Through you, I'd have had an inn. and then the money would have been rolling in. Connie and I were out to land you from the first minute you hit town. And we did.
I see. I was a prize chump, wasn't I? Falling for those big blue eyes and that soft southern accent.
Oh, better men than you have fallen for them.
I don't doubt it. But that explains why you were so anxious to help me. Nelson would be out of the way, I'd marry Connie, and you'd always have a hold to blackmail me by.
Exactly. But you don't seem very surprised.
I'm not. I knew something was wrong the minute Connie found that gun in the chair in my room.
What do you mean?
I knew it was a phony. The angle of the chair was wrong. That gun couldn't ever in a million years have come through the window and landed in the chair exactly that way. It was too pat.
I don't believe you. You'd have said something.
What could I say? All the evidence was against me. I had to keep mum and find out your game. Then I played up to it.
Well, now you know. Too late to do you any good. Or Connie, has he contacted anyone since I left you at the hotel?
Not a soul. I've been with him every second.
In that case, I'll take that paper, Dan.
Only over my dead body.
Well, if that's the way you want it, that's how I'll take it. I've got the gun here that killed Nelson. It'll do just as well for you.
Hurry, Bill, hurry!
Here goes the shot that blasts three different futures. Yours, mine, and Connie's. Take it, Dan!
Bill, what's wrong?
This gun misfired. I won't shoot!
It's no use, Bill. Back at the hotel, I took the firing pin out. How much of a chump do you take me for anyway?
Hey, Connie, hand me that paper knife.
Yeah, Bill. Here it is, but... hurry, please, hurry!
It's no use, Bill. Better come out now, Inspector.
You expect me to fall for an old trick like that?
It's not a trick. Why do you suppose you couldn't find the key to that locked cabinet? Because it's on the inside.
What an imagination.
It's not imagination, Williams. Drop that knife.
Why, you...
I said drop it. That's better. Cassidy, put the cuffs on him.
I sure will, Inspector. Hold out your hands, you.
Oh, you fool! You let him trick us!
It was your fault! You slipped up on that gun!
Quiet, both of you. Well, Bedell, that was nicely done.
Whew. All the time I was drawing them out, Inspector, I had a nasty feeling that maybe you'd never gotten my note. That you might not be hiding in that closet at all.
Note? What note?
You didn't have a chance to send anybody a note. I was watching!
When I handed the elevator boy that $5 bill, there was a note folded inside it for my old friend Inspector Richards. The $5 convinced Tom the note was urgent.
Oh, you should have guessed!
I should have guessed! This whole thing was your idea!
Take him away, Cassidy.
Sure thing. Come on, you two. Come on, I said.
You handled that right smart, boy. If you hadn't been able to get those two here and to trick them into confessing, you'd sure have a hard time convincing us that you didn't shoot Nelson. It was downright like a moving picture.
Don't I know it? And as soon as I can, I'm heading back for Hollywood, where things like this only do happen in the movies. Real life is too exciting for me.
This is the Mysterious Traveler again. Did you like our little visit to the Mardi Gras? Funny thing about masquerades, isn't it? They're the only place where a corpse can't convince anyone he's dead. Everybody thinks he's just pretending. So if you go to any fancy dress balls, better be sure that your partner isn't really what he seems to be. I attended one masquerade where half the guests refused to unmask when midnight came. They just vanished. Oh, you have to get off here? I'm sorry. But I'm sure we'll meet again. I take this same train every week at this time.
You have been listening to American Radio Theater's presentation of The Mysterious Traveler and his tale of murder in masquerade. Written by Bob Arthur and David Kogan. Produced and directed by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Kim Turner as the Mysterious Traveler and a cop, Dave Leese as Morgan Nelson and Tom, Maisie Teasworth as Connie, Pat McNally as Inspector Richards and a cop, Dan Schindler as Dan Bedell, Beth Schlansky as the driver. Live sound effects by Beth Schlansky. This show was originally broadcast on February 16th, 1947, in New York, on the Mutual Broadcasting System. I'm your announcer, Dean T. Moody, whom you also heard as Bill Williams. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Hey, let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
One Night Stand takes you to the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago for the music of Eddie Howard and his orchestra.
Why don't you live every moment you love? And you love every moment you live. My darling, just pretend that each day is the last. And before it's gone, hold it fast. You'll find that time is too precious to waste. And you'll only have one heart to give. So live every moment you love, and you love every moment you live. Why don't you live every moment you love, and you love every moment you live. My darling, just pretend that each day is the last. And before it's gone, hold it fast. You'll find that time is too precious to waste. And you'll only have one heart to give. So live every moment you love, and you love every moment you live, 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 and you love every moment you live.
There you have it, Love Every Moment You Live, Eddie Howard and the trio. Well, number two tonight on Aragon Dance Time is one penned by the great Cole Porter and was featured in the production Born to Dance. Here it is, Easy to Love. boys in the band displaying their talents on Easy to Love. Well, it's trio time again here at the Aragon Ballroom, and it's titled Where You Are.
I'll be with you where you are, happy with you where you are, dreaming with you day and night, night and day, where you are, watching everything you do, hearing everything you say, mighty thankful just to stay with you where you are. There may be a cloud or two drifting along the sky. What's a cloud between us two? Only a passing sigh. I'll be with you where you are, happy anywhere you are. Love and I will linger there with you where you are. I'll be with you where you are, happy anywhere you are, love and I will linger there with you.
Eddie Howard and his trio with Where You Are. Another instrumental by Eddie Howard and the orchestra. This one, you remember, was inspired by Mr. Duke Ellington. It's called Caravan. Thank you. Alexander's Ragtime Band.
From up above, with an angel's love. So here's to you, may your skies be blue, and your love bless, that's my best to you. My best.
best to you.
Eddie in the orchestra with a real old standard about a gal named Josephine.
Just a little corner of your heart. There I'll plant a seed of love, and it will bloom, I know. Wise men say that mighty oaks from tiny acorns grow. So till that happy day, darling, let me stay in a little corner of your heart. Darling, look and see, is there room for me in a little corner of your heart? Why, any place at all, I don't care how small, just a little corner of your heart. There I'll plant a seed of love, and it will bloom, I know. Wise men say that mighty oaks from tiny acorns grow. So till that happy day, darling, let me stay in a little corner. I'll be like Jack Horner in a little corner of your heart.
One we haven't heard before, but one we'd like to hear a lot more of. In a little corner of your heart, Eddie Howard and the Trio. Well, the boys dug real deep for this one in their musical files and have come up with none other than my darling Clementine.
In a canyon, excavating for a mine, dwelled a miner, a 49er, and his daughter, Clementine.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling Clementine. Now gone but not forgotten, oh, my darling Clementine.
She was light and like a fairy, and her shoes were number 9. Hair in boxes worth of toxes, sandals worth for Clementine.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling Clementine. Do you hear me? Are you listening? Make me know it, Clementine. Oh, my darling, little darling, oh, my darling Clementine.
I'd be sued by Gene Autry if he caught me, Clementine.
Drove she ducklings to the water every morning just at 9. Hit her foot against a splinter, fell into the foaming brine. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling Clementine. Hit her foot against a splinter, are you kidding, Clementine? Lips above the water, blowing bubbles soft and fine. But alas, I was no swimmer, so I lost my Clementine. Oh, my darling, my poor darling, oh, my darling Clementine. You were lost and gone forever, oh, my darling Clementine. Oh, my darling Clementine, plant you now. Take you later, like a tater, Clementine.
Yes, sir, there she is, all dressed up in brand new style, my darling Clementine, done for us by Eddie Howard and the Trio. Well, a bit of a medley on our Aragon Dance Time show. We're going to open up with Peg of My Heart. Thank you. And finally, if I could be with you an hour tonight. One Night Stand has presented the music of Eddie Howard and his orchestra from the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
Gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by our website, www.americanradiotheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month. Hey, see you next time.